We're going to continue a series that we started a couple of weeks ago entitled Devoted, and we're looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to the end of the chapter. So if you would like, you can turn in a Bible and see it in your own Bible, or you can look on the screen and you can find the passage there. Whether you're reading in your own Bible or you're looking on a screen or a screen up here, let's remember that this is the Word of God that was breathed out for our good, that we would grow more like Jesus from it. And this is what the Scriptures say. And they, that is the early disciples, the young disciples who became believers on the day of Pentecost after Peter preached a sermon, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray together. Father, just as Nathan prayed that you would sanctify us through the week, Lord, sanctify us by your word even now, that we would be those who devote ourselves to the teaching of the apostles about Jesus, that we would be those who devote ourselves to praying to you, that we would devote ourselves to the fellowship, and that we would devote ourselves to the breaking of bread. Would you help us most of all to devote ourselves to Jesus, because he has so devoted himself to us. Help us to see that more clearly and to live that out in our lives. We pray, Jesus, in your name and for your glory, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, our one true God. Amen. Back in the mid-2000s, there's a guy named Dave Davila who was living in Chicago, and he got a phone call from one of his friends who lived in East Moline, which I believe is about a 2 or 3 hour drive from Chicago. Dave, as they talked on the phone, Dave's friend said, "There's a great photo of you in the paper." And Dave asked, "What photo?" Because he had no idea what his friend was talking about. Well, it turns out there was a picture of Dave in the newspaper back in East Moline, but it was not real-life Dave. It was a life-size cutout that his family had made of him. In fact, what had happened was his mom had taken a digital photo of her son, and she had blown it up and enlarged it so that it was so large that it was actually his height, 5 feet 8 inches. And then she attached it to some heavy cardboard and then got her husband to help her make a stand for it so it would stand upright. And then they started taking it everywhere they went. They dubbed the two-dimensional stand-in Flat Dave. Now, if you're wondering what they called their actual son, they called him Thick Dave. According to an article in the Chicago Tribune, Flat Dave has joined Real Dave's mom at the dentist office, attended a motorcycle show, posed with a decidedly three-dimensional dancer from a local gentleman's club, and lounged for hours at a relative's graduation party. In other words, the mom has taken Flat Dave everywhere she went because she missed being connected with Thick Dave. It's weird what we'll do when we're missing out on connection. And yet, at the same time, even when we have opportunities for connection, for relationship, for fellowship, we can find that our connections with each other are a little flat. You ever felt that way? You're trying to have relationship, you're trying to be connected, trying to be with people. It just falls flat. And then sometimes we're tempted to think that it's just not worth the energy. It's just not worth the risk. It's just not worth it to invest time in the relationships with other people in the church. I've got my close friends, I've got my peeps, I've got my family, and I'll stay close to them and everybody else, you know, it's not worth it. Well, I can understand why we might feel that way. And especially during a time of pandemic where we're already kind of isolated from each other in many ways. But let's look at see what this passage has to say and what the scriptures in general have to say about being connected to each other as the church. And let's see from this passage that just like we've seen that God calls us to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, God calls us to devote ourselves to prayer, God also calls us to be devoted to the fellowship. And God calls us to be devoted to the fellowship. And before you jump to the conclusion and you're going, wait a second, Stuart, why in the world are you going to talk about this when there's a pandemic, when we can't really get together? Well, you'll see some of where we want to go with this in a few minutes. So just hang on and don't feel like there's a guilt trip being placed on you, because that's not what I'm about at all. This is about encouraging us to remember who we are, whose we are, how we're already connected, and what we can do about it, all right? So, we see in this passage, they, these early disciples of Jesus, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And just like we've said in the past few weeks, just because there is something in the Bible that happens, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's something we have to do, right? Judas went and hung himself. That doesn't mean that we have to go hang ourselves, right? So we need to recognize that just because something happened, it doesn't mean that God is calling us to do that. We have to have more than just that from the scriptures. And if we read through the scriptures, we see things like Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, which point us in this direction of being devoted to the fellowship. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says this, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Again, this passage has been used as almost like a weapon to make people feel guilty for not showing up on Sunday morning. And that is not what I want to do as I'm reading this passage, as we're talking about this passage. What this passage is saying is that we need each other. The devotion to each other, the devotion to the fellowship, is more about how we have a need. And we need to remember that need and recognize that need than we need to show up every single thing that the church does. And again, when we talk about the pandemic, we recognize, I mean, we look out, and before a pandemic, we were running somewhere in the 170s, 180s on an average Sunday, and today, I'm terrible with numbers, but I would say we're definitely less than 100, okay? So, I mean, we've already seen that that's one of the things that happens during a pandemic. We used to have lots of life groups meeting, and now we have only three that are meeting on a regular basis. And you might say, well, again, Stuart, sounds like you're trying to make us feel guilty. No, that's not. I'm just saying that the pandemic has really affected our fellowship. The pandemic has really done a number on our connecting with one another. And in some ways, we can understand that. And in some ways, we can say, okay, this is the way life is right now. So how do we obey? How do we live out our connectedness to one another? I want you to think about the early Christians in Rome. There was a time when those early Christians were being persecuted, and persecuted heavily. I mean, to the point of there were public spectacles of bringing Christians in and burning them in front of everyone, or throwing them to lions and letting people see them being mauled by these animals. Horrible things that we couldn't even imagine happening in this country. Did Christians say, you know what, because of the persecution, we're just going to stay at home and we're not going to have any connection with one another whatsoever? No, you know what they did? They went into the catacombs underneath Rome. They went into this network of tunnels and passageways that was dug in the soft volcanic rock that were basically cemeteries. Okay? The early Christians met in, as one historian described it, a dark, often damp, riddled with vermin, claustrophobically small in places, and stacked with the corpses of previous inhabitants. That sounds like a great place to worship, doesn't it? But that's where they gathered, because that's where they could gather. And why would they go to such lengths when they still could be persecuted? The Roman guards sometimes still went into those catacombs and chased them down and found them and brought them out. Why would they go to such great lengths to meet together? Was it because of a rule that says, well, you're supposed to be meeting? No, it was because they knew something about what Jesus had done for them, and they knew that they needed one another. That's what brought them together. And during our pandemic today, when, yes, there is a little bit different kind of spin on the problems that we have, it's not being persecuted, there's a virus that we could actually pass to one another. And yeah, it's good for us to have some distance. It is good for us to wear the masks. It's good for us to do all those things. But we still need connection. We still need relationship. We still need to be devoted to the fellowship. And there are ways that we can do that. You know, I've been thinking about this, and this is just such a beautiful thing that I didn't really grasp until recently, that God has been really good to us who live in this time in ways that early Christians, past generations, would have been, wow, that's amazing that you guys have that kind of capability. I bet the early church would have loved to have a device that fits in their pocket that they could pull out at any time and call someone to be able to say, here's what's going on, I need prayer. Or to call someone and say, hey, how you doing? I bet the early Christians would have been falling all over themselves to have something like Zoom or FaceTime. They would have been like, wow, this is amazing. We need this because this will help us to be able to connect with one another. God has really been good to us in giving us this kind of technology to be able to connect with each other. No, it's not the same as being in person. No, it's not the same as seeing each other face to face. No, it's not the same as being able to hug one another and, you know, shake one another's hands and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? It does help us connect. And we, as a church, we need to be creative, innovative even, in trying to find ways to connect, because we need each other. We need this devotion to the fellowship. Now, some of you are thinking in terms of fellowship, in like enjoying one another's company. You know, fellowship is when you get together and you have some fried chicken, you know, maybe some potato salad, maybe you play some games, you laugh together, you joke around. That's fellowship. I'm not saying it's not, but I want you to understand that biblically speaking, scripturally speaking, the fellowship to which God has called us, the fellowship which God is calling us now, is much deeper than simply enjoying each other's company. It's good to enjoy each other's company. That's a good thing, and I hope that that happens when we get together. But the fellowship that we are called to is so much deeper than just that. J.I. Packer, some of you may know, he's the author of the book Knowing God that many of you have read. J.I. Packer writes about this. He says, "What does the word fellowship suggest to you? A cup of tea in the church hall, gossip on the porch after the service, hiking with the youth club? We often say that we've had fellowship when all we mean is that we've taken part in some Christian social enterprise of this sort. The fact that we share social activities with other Christians does not of itself imply that we've had fellowship with them. To say that it's not, of course, does not deny that there is a place for these activities, but it is a good sign, but it is not a good sign when a person sees no difference between sucking a sweet and eating a square meal. In the same way, it is not a good sign when Christians recognize no difference between social activities in Christian company and the fellowship to which God calls us." I know that's a long quote, but the basic gist is fellowship is so much deeper than just getting together and enjoying one another's company. And you know the reason for that? It's this. The fellowship we have with one another is grounded in Christ. The fellowship that we have is grounded in Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of sinners. The one who came to earth and died for our sins and rose from the dead to give us life, to give us forgiveness, to bring us into the family of God, to make us his own, as we sang about today. We are united to Jesus. We are in Christ. And because of that, Christ shares with us so much. He shares his righteousness. He shares his inheritance. He shares, the scriptures say, even his glory with us. And while we enjoy a relationship with Jesus, hopefully, there's so much more to our fellowship than just that enjoyment. It is a deep union that we have with him. In fact, the scriptures say that the union is so deep that we are considered his body. We are considered his bride. We're his family. That's how connected we are. You know, I've been, during the pandemic, one of the things that I've been doing to try to blow off some steam is play my guitar more. And so, you know, I kind of sit there and I try to learn some songs that I haven't played in a while or learn some songs that I haven't played at all. And it's fun. It's enjoyable to play the guitar. And if I got together with a group of guitarists and we all just kind of sat around and played some songs together, that would be enjoyable. That would be fun. And if all those people happened to be Christians, that would still be fun, probably. But would that really be fellowship, per se? Would we be understanding and connecting on that deeper level that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we belong to each other because we belong to Jesus? not just that you like the same songs that I like, or you show me a lick that I can play on my guitar, and I'm excited about that new thing that I can play that you showed me. No, it's about something so much more beautiful and wonderful and deep. It is about our relationship with Jesus. Because I am connected to Jesus by faith and by the Spirit, and you are connected to Jesus by faith and by the Spirit, guess what? Whether we realize it or not, even whether we like it or not, we're connected to one another. And that's the fellowship. We share life together because we share the same Savior. Because we share being in Christ. And look to see what happens when you understand that, when you realize that, when we as Christians realize just how deep this fellowship goes in Christ, and what happens is a willingness to share much with each other, right? Because our shared identity in Christ plays out in a willingness to share much with one another. That really, that's what the word fellowship biblically means. It's to share. The Greek word koinonia, it means to share. It's something to have in common. And that is what we see in this passage. Their shared identity in Christ gave them this desire to have a willingness to share much with one another. Not just fried chicken. Or potato salad. But much. Look at what it says, verse 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, as Americans, we hear that, and the first thing that happens is our radar goes up and we go, socialism, watch out, socialism, we don't want to be socialists, watch out. But I want you to see, this passage has nothing to do with socialism. Socialism is a philosophy that says we're going to force everyone to be on the same level. This was done from the heart out of love for one another. These early Christians, they looked at each other and they said, here's someone who's in need. They really need some help. They need financial help. Well, you know what? I've got this piece of land that I'm not really using that much, or it's not really that important to me. I'm going to sell it and give that money away so that it will help this person. That's what they did. And they did that for one another. That is the fellowship that they were devoted to. They were so devoted to one another in Christ that they were willing to give up some of their comforts, some of their finances, some of their stuff for the good of each other. And then look at this next passage in verse 46. It says, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. This wasn't just a show up on Sunday morning kind of thing. They were devoted to being together every day. Now, I know that's impossible for a church our size, for every one of us to be with every one of us every day. But there is a way of being devoted to one another that every day we're connecting with each other. More so than they were even able to do. Because of what God has given us with the technology that we have. Yeah, and day by day they attended the temple together and they broke bread in their homes, which hopefully, Lord willing, we're going to talk more about next week. So, little ad for next week. And then they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And here they are, they're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, but they did that together. They devoted themselves to prayer, but they did that together. They devoted themselves to worship together. They devoted themselves to seeing Christ reflected more in their lives together. That's what they did. They did things together because they were devoted to the fellowship. Now I know that being around church folks sometimes isn't really easy. Sometimes church folks are the ones who hurt us the worst. I know that. Been on the both sides of that, the one causing pain and the one who has received pain. And you have too. As author Ben Patterson once wrote, people in the church are like porcupines in a snowstorm. They need each other to keep warm, but they prick each other when they get too close. And that's true. When we start having that kind of connection, being in each other's lives, getting close to one another, we're going to see our faults, we're going to see our issues, we're going to see our problems, and we're going to start to prick each other. And sometimes it's going to feel more than just a prick. Sometimes it's going to be like a wound, and it's going to hurt. And yet even that, God is calling us as a church to see those as opportunities to grow. If we really do believe the scriptures, and I think we say we do, and I think we do on some level, but if we really believe the scriptures, and we really do believe what Romans 8 tells us, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose to make us like Jesus, then even when we hurt, even when we're pricked, even when there is definite pain that we cause each other, God is using that to help us to be more like Jesus. To work in us, to grow us up. As iron sharpens iron, so we sharpen one another. And yeah, sometimes when iron is sharpening iron, sparks are flying. It probably doesn't feel too good to be the iron at that point. But the result is that the iron is better. In the same way, we, by the help of the Spirit, because of our God, because of Jesus, we will be better even through the pain of relational issues and turmoil and problems. There's a story about Michelangelo, and I'm not talking about the Ninja Turtle, I'm talking about the artist. Michelangelo, you know, the Sistine Chapel guy, David, the statue. Well, he was asked one time about carving the marble statue of David. He was asked about how he did it. And supposedly, I don't know if this is really true or not, but supposedly Michelangelo said, I looked inside the marble and I just took away the bits that weren't David. I looked inside the marble and I just took away the bits that weren't David. And that's really kind of what we do with each other, isn't it? We see something of the beauty of Christ in each other because we are indwelt by the Spirit. Christ lives in our hearts by faith. We are the people of God, and so we see something of that beauty in each other. What the Spirit is doing in each of us, and we want to see it more. As Tim Keller writes, we can say to each other, I see your flaws. I see your imperfections. I see your weaknesses and dependencies. But underneath them all, I see growing the person God wants you to be. And I want to see that more. And then so Keller encourages us to see in each other the absolutely ravishing flashes of glory that God is producing in those of us who are in Christ. Yeah, there's ugliness, there's murkiness, there's nastiness, there's sin, there's issues, there's problems, there's hang-ups. When we see all of that, yeah, we see it. But can we look past those things and see something of Jesus in each other and say, I want to see that more? So I'll pray for you. I'll encourage you. I'll tell you when I'm seeing Jesus in you. That's the kind of fellowship we want to devote ourselves to. Connecting with each other, yes. Enjoying one another, yes. Sharing with each other, yes. We want all those things to be involved in our fellowship, but we also want those absolutely ravishing flashes of glory in each other to be fanned into a greater flame of glory. Isn't that what you want to see in your own life? Isn't that what you want to see in each other? That we're more like Jesus? So as I've been doing recently, I just want to give you a few minor things that you can do to hopefully help us to be more devoted. After hearing this, hopefully you want to be devoted. Well, how can you show this devotion? Part of the way is just making connecting a priority. Just make it a priority. You know, wake up in the morning and you do all the other things that you normally do, whether it's your devotion or cup of coffee or whatever, but at some time in the morning, just say, you know what, I want to contact so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so today, just see how they're doing. There are some of us in the church who have never gotten a phone call or very rarely gotten a phone call that asked us how we were doing. Lots of phone calls asking if we can help out with something. But not many just to say, hey, I was thinking about you, how are you? Be willing to be creative with the ways that you connect with each other. You know, I mentioned a few weeks ago, our life group, instead of meeting inside, we started meeting outside. And yeah, on a day like today, when it's cold, it might not be all that great. But still, we're trying different things, trying to see, throwing things up against the wall to see what will work. But we're trying, right? And the same is true for you guys. There are all kinds of things that we can try. If we really are devoted to one another, we will make ways to be connected. Whether it's Zoom or FaceTime, whether it's a drive-by in front of someone's house, whatever it can be, let's devote ourselves by being creative during this time. And I do want to just one last time encourage everybody. I know that life groups are kind of in a stationary place right now. But eventually, I will hope that our life groups will really get off and running again. Whether they're Zoom life groups, whether they're meeting outside life groups, whether they're, you know, sitting in each other's cars and talking to each other in the parking lot life groups, I don't know. But I'd love to see us being connected again in safe ways, making sure we're not spreading the virus, making sure we're not, you know, endangering each other's health, but connecting, because we need it. I need it. You need it. We all need that devotion to the fellowship, because that's our lifeline in Christ, to remind each other, to stir one another up toward love and good deeds, to be the people God has called us to be. So, because of Jesus, and by the power of the Spirit, let's continue to grow in our devotion to one another. Let me pray for us that we'll do that. Jesus, thank you that we are connected to you by faith. And not because of anything that we've done. You connected us to yourself out of your love. In your death and resurrection, you brought us in and made us yours. Now we're your people, set apart for you by your death and resurrection, for your glory and for our good and for the good of the world around us. by the power of your Spirit working within us, help us to continue to grow, to be devoted to the fellowship, to one another. Where there are issues and walls that are being built or have been built, help tear them down. Where there are things that we need to work through, help us to work through them. Where there are just a need to be enthused about getting together again, Lord, spark that flame in our hearts that we long to be with one another, not just to enjoy each other, but to encourage one another in Christ. Help us to do that, we pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen.